The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
LaFondra looking to get close side of Font. LaFondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Umpire Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, it is not going to be an upbeat podcast today at all. 5-0 defeat against Middlesbrough away. They are flying high, and let's be quite frank, we're shit sometimes, aren't we? And away from home, we are always shit. And to help us talk through it, I've been joined by Nick Holton. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Paul.
Yes, yes, it's that low-key kind of Dave. And also to Dave, who watched that in Denver. How you doing, mate?
Full of regret, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah, that must have been a hell of a start to the day for you to watch that.
Yeah, nice of Reading to ruin my weekend within moments of waking up, yeah.
Never change.
That's so classic though, isn't it? Yeah. No. So the match, obviously, we go into it. What are your expectations going into this one, Nick? Because I wasn't really expecting anything. And on the preview podcast with James, he was saying he was predicting a 1-0 win for Reading. I think, as I said at the time, it had taken a lot of drugs to make that prediction. But it's kind of like, we all expected a bad outcome. But was it worse than you thought it was going to be? Or was it about where you thought?
Probably about where I thought, if I'm really honest with it. We're really bad away. We're not the greatest team this year. Middlesbrough steamrolling everyone since Carrick, or most teams since Carrick came in. Their attacking fluidity is really impressive as well, with Akpom, Fors, Ramsey, Giles as well coming up the left. Great wing back. And I just fully expected to be a pump, to be honest. I was hoping for, you know, a low defeat or even a shock result, but I thought we're going to lose that 3 or 4-0, and probably was slightly worse, I guess, with the 5, but yeah, not too far off what I was expecting.
Dave, what were you thinking? Is it a surprise or kind of where we are?
I feared a big defeat. I was sure we were going to lose because it's away and it's Borough, and you know, they're actually quite nice to watch when they're not playing against you. But it was the manner of how we did it that was the surprise. I expected us to struggle, but to basically just raise the white flag at halftime and be like, well, we've lost this one. That's what really stuck with me. We frustrated them for maybe 20 minutes and then everything went to hell. It was really disappointing.
Okay, so what we're going to do is going to rattle through the 5 goals, because nobody wants to like go through dancing around the issues. And then we're going to have some questions that you've sent in to us. So thanks a lot for that. So let's go to the first one, Nick. Penalty. Mm-hmm. Andy Yidum, handball. Was that harsh or do you think it was fine?
I think it's harsh. First time I saw it, I thought, oh, maybe his arm's a bit outstretched. It's one of those where refs sometimes give it, sometimes they don't. If he gives it, you can't argue it. If he doesn't give it, you can't really argue it either. It's a 50-50 debate, really. But when I saw the replay, his arm's more or less by his side, and it's such close distance to where I think it was Ramsey knocks it into his arm, I just think it's really, really harsh to give that. It's one of those where it does hit his hand, so technically, yeah, okay, you can't really complain too much, but I've seen a lot of those where the ref probably would just wave that away and just say, look, he can't do anything about it. Arm's more or less by his side. It's not outstretched. He's not moved his arm. He can't do anything about it. I think that's a really harsh decision.
Didn't even protest, though. He didn't even protest at all, did he, Dave? He was kind of like, maybe it's just the situation that we're in, like the mood amongst the club this week, maybe, with obviously the embargo situation. It's kind of like resignation almost. And hopefully we shake out of that. But it wasn't great, the reaction, I think, for that one, Dave, really.
No, like resignation and apathy. Oh, of course we've given away a penalty. Oh, of course this has gone against. It's like, get in the ref's face at least. Like, do something. Even if that's not the right thing to do, show us that you give a damn that it's just happened. I think it's reflective of the whole performance that there was just kind of like a roll of the eyes and a, oh, well, Reading away. This is what we're like when we're not at home. It's this mentality, like a mental block of, well, we're away from home, so let's hope we can keep it at 0-0. It's pathetic. It's mentally weak.
Yeah. We are absolutely abysmal away from it. Anyone who's went to that match yesterday, especially if you went all the way from Reading, respect to you. You are crazy. And maybe, and it comes up in the questions about giving, support to these people. You do need it, because if you've gone to every away game this season, wow. Is there an elite group of people that have done that? I wonder, Nick, because they are, I don't know what they've done it for. I mean, why would you?
you do get it, don't you? Some people just love it. It's what they want to do. It's their hobby, their interests, supporters. And it's fair play to them. I think it's amazing. You know, I love going to the games. But all that way, especially when we just had Sunderland, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, for a 5-0 pasting. It's, not great. Unfortunately, for those challenges,
Sunderland had 5 goals against them yesterday at home as well. So,
these
things happen.
It's true.
But then we have the incident that Paul Ince was absolutely, I wouldn't say raging, but annoyed by afterwards, and thinks there should have been a penalty for us and a red card. Shane Long, what's going on there with the referee there, Nick? Talk to me about that one.
Yeah, it's a Stonewall penalty. I can't believe he's not given it. I'm pretty sure he's well positioned as well, Keith Stroud, I think it was. And I think it was Carroll who knocks it through. If I'm mistaken, it might be Ince. But Long runs through. He's through on goal. Keeps coming out. Maybe he would have saved it. But I think I would bank Long to score that. I'd back him all day long there. And the defenders, I think it was Tommy Smith, has come across him. I don't know about the red card, because there has to be no intention to play the ball, right? So I'm not sure if there's 100%. I think he's trying to hook the ball round him. I'm not sure if it should have been a red card, to be fair, but definitely a penalty. And although I still think we were going to lose that game, I still think Middlesbrough would have gone on to win it. It does change the dynamic. It gets us level, and who knows? And then we're back to trying to, I guess, knowing Ince's tactics, just trying to play for that 1-1 again, but probably a tighter game and a different, probably not a different outcome, but definitely puts us in the game a bit. But yeah, definite penalty. Long's through. He takes his legs out. He falls onto the ball, kind of thing, and knocks the ball into the goalkeeper. Just kind of understand how the refs, if he's not given a penalty, why is he not booking Long for a dive? I just don't get it at all.
EFL. Need we say anymore? Need we say anymore?
That's it, isn't it?
He's just in his disaster zone this week with the whole, everything is going on, and there is no conspiracy with the referees against us. I don't believe that for a second, but they're just crap. A lot of them, aren't they?
Not good enough.
That's the underlying issue.
Yeah, it's the EFL themselves love giving us penalties, and EFL refs don't like giving us penalties. It's the exact wrong way around. Yeah. No, there's no conspiracy. I mean, we can get onto it later, but Paul Ince talking after the game about how terrible refereeing has cost the game and everything. I went through and had a little look at the tally at the end of it. And if you look at contentious decisions that you could say maybe the ref got wrong, if you just settle the game on those, Borough win 3-2. There's two that he got wrong for us, and he got 3 wrong for them. So even that, there's not a leg to stand on blaming the refs. EFL referees are quite terrible. Doesn't matter what team you support, you share in that belief because it affects everybody. Yes, the bigger teams maybe get a few more in their favor, but there's nothing against Reading. It's generally a low standard of refereeing.
Yeah, and even if we'd got that penalty, scored it, I think we'd all both agree that we're still going to lose that game. you know, Middlesbrough, a way better team, and they showed that throughout, Nick. I mean, moving on to the second goal for Middlesbrough, just before half-time, what is Mbenge doing there?
Yeah, it's a big mistake. He's sort of just taken a bit of a heavy second touch and maybe taken his eye off a ball, looking around for where he's going to play it after. You just can't, it doesn't matter what you do there. Even if you pump out a play and it frustrates fans because you've just panicked, the main thing is you can't lose the ball there because he's thrown goal from beyond the halfway line. It's incredible. What I will say is, Mbenge, though, he's 21. I think it's only the second mistake he's made after that Birmingham game for one of Troy Deeney's goals there. And it happens, especially at that age. So I wouldn't react too much on that in general, but it is a poor mistake. I'm sure he knows it. As soon as he loses the ball, you know they're probably going to score, because if Ramsey doesn't shoot, he can square it to, Akpom, I didn't see who was up with him, but someone was alongside him for another tap-in anyway. So, yeah, but if we get in at 1-0, gives us a bit of hope going into the second half that maybe we can change some things around tactically, or, you know, you get Aziz on to make an impact, it's still 1-0, and maybe some difference can be made. It's tight again, but that second goal, it kills it.
Yeah, I mean, he has the poor touch, but then the tackle to get the ball back is just meek, isn't it, David? I'm not sure what he's doing there, because if you're being booked, you'd think, okay, you don't want to be sent off here. But
he panics. He panics. He thinks, oh no, what do I do? And then he's caught in two minds. I think the only... So it is a Mbengue's mistake. He does pretty poorly. Bouzanis, when facing Ramsey, gets caught halfway between. He doesn't act. He just stands there, basically, which, again, you can't blame him because of the situation. If you step it back a little bit, 30 seconds left until the whistle is going to go. We get a free kick that high up the pitch. We push everybody forward and then deliver it poorly. Like, it's the decision-making all over the place. Like, yes, and Mbengue takes the blame for that because it was his double problem of losing the ball and then not just throwing himself in to block the breakaway. But just all round, like, why are we not putting it well in? If you're gonna not hit the target, make it go long so it's a goal kick and the whistle will blow before anything happens. It's just something about that mentality away from home that just all went wrong.
Which happens every single week. So, like,
yeah. The only surprise is that anyone's surprised, I guess. Yeah.
It's self-preservation. I go into the away games expecting absolutely nothing but defeat, because we just do it so consistently, and it's so rare that we put in a performance that we even deserve to get anything from it. And that's the even bigger worry. We just never look like that. So we come out second half. We think, okay, let's not concede again early. No. Fuck that idea. Let's just do that, Nick. Let's just concede a third goal straight away. Poor Akpom gets in right in between Yedem and McIntyre and takes it nicely. Good goal from them, but it's really poor again from us.
Yeah, so it is a good ball into the box, to be fair. Sar stretching, but they're just all caught out really early on in the second half. May need to be just alert, more alert, and we capitulate again. Both goals come up the same side, up our right side. I think Giles put the first ball in, not sure about the second ball for the second goal, which I'm sure we'll come on to in a second anyway. Just caught out, and just it was like we gave up. The mentality, I think, there, and there is a weak mentality. As soon as that third goal went in, it's the belief went in. That's maybe came out of the second goal, but just after half time, you think maybe Ince has pumped something into them, or someone, one of the players or coaching staff, maybe Alex Ray or someone, and just to get them going, to at least make it tight for 10, 15 minutes. And if we lose 4-0, but we concede in like 70th and 80th minute, fine. But when we concede in the third and fourth goal, what, within 5 minutes, 6 minutes of the second half starting, it's not good enough. And it's not fair on away fans, as we've already mentioned. It's really not fair on those travelling fans to then give them that as a thanks for coming and giving us that support. But yeah, it is nice play, to be fair, for Middlesbrough. It's a nice little knock over the top to Giles in the first place. Great ball in from him. And a good finish from Akpom, who's just on fire this season. He's a completely different player, isn't he? Just doesn't stop scoring.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And he's been fantastic. Easy for me to say, Paul. Fantastic all season. Yeah, I'd love to know, Dave, at what point are you thinking here, why am I watching this? Why am I continuing? Why didn't I go and do something different? You know, like, you know, cut a leg off or something. Something that's less annoying than watching this every single week.
The answer to that question is roughly halfway between the third and fourth goal, when I was just bemoaning the fact that we'd let the third in and then the fourth went in. It was like, what am I doing here? I should just turn it off now. But then it's, well, you know, kind of can't look away now. Like, what's going to happen from this point out? Is this another 7-0? Is this going to be something else? Are we going to get someone sent off just for the hell of it? You know,
I thought the same.
Yeah, it was going that way. It was going to be one of those games. And the one so soon after the break was just galling, because it's like, all we could have hoped coming out after the halftime break was that they were like, right, no more. Switched on, let's get this back on track. And you just see them pass around us. But look, Borough are a brilliant side, and I love what Carrick's done there, and I like the way he sets his teams up. But let's be real. They didn't, like, turn on the class yesterday. It was barely above a training match. They were just, should we have a goal now? Yeah. All right, go on then. Yeah. Oh, good. That's nice. The only reason it wasn't seven was probably because they were looking ahead to their next game and conserving energy. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. That fourth goal as well, the cut back to Ramsey. When Ramsey's got that ball, he's got so much time and space inside the box to pick his finish. And there's four or five defenders in front of Ramsey, and they're all sort of ball watching and gone back to sort of the 6-yard line rather than one or two of them sort of pick him up. And that's what frustrates me. It's just decision making and positioning and awareness and things like that, just basic mental side of the game. And all four of them, one of them, or at least one of them, should be instructing the other, I'll pick Ramsey up or pick whoever up, and not all four drop into that 6-yard box and ball watching there.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw a tweet here from the Borough Breakdown podcast, who won our preview this week, who are excellent, and they've put this out. Appreciate it's an accumulation of things at Reading, but I think that's the worst team I've seen at the Riverside this season. Really bad. And you'd be hard-pushed to... That happens on a regular basis with us now, doesn't it?
How many times have we heard that from opposition fans, and they've been right?
Yeah, it happens every season. We will even say, oh, this is the worst team we've seen, or that's the worst team. They've just had a bad game, but it's so common with us.
Yeah, so it's a pattern, isn't it? I mean, if you're like watching us, as in a home theme when we're away, which is a bit of a weird one to explain.
Yeah.
It's kind of the results. I mean, we're probably bottom of the away team now. I know we were 23rd.
Yeah.
But I haven't checked it today because it's just too grim. And I'm sure we deserve to be there because we're just so shit. So let's move to the fifth goal. Let's get this one wrapped up. Number five, Dave, talk us through that one.
Well, we've already thrown in the towel. We've given up and we're thinking about how we're getting home, apparently. And another simple ball finds, is it Fours that gets the ball in the box, I think? Yeah, probably not saying that right. Fours, yeah. And as he goes in, Tom McIntyre's decided I could shield him and try and block the cross, or I could just take him out. So he takes him out, clear as day penalty, no complaints from anyone. They don't protest this one because you'd have to be mental to protest this one. It was a clear penalty. The only thing, I don't even care, he scores it, well done. But the only thing to talk about on this one is that when that penalty is awarded, there are two Middlesbrough players have scored a brace. And in the interest of fairness, of not deciding who gets to have the hat trick, Fors takes it himself. So I think that's a lovely, lovely display of teammate being a good teammate there, because you know, you don't want to favour one or the other. Then, you know, they're getting after the game, and whichever one of Akpom or Ramsey didn't get to get their hat trick is mean to him and stuff. So fair play to him. Yeah, I've given up. I it was so bad. And like, of course he was going to score the penalty. There was no chance we were going to save it and have some kind of comeback. But
I think Tom McIntyre had exactly the same mood as you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just thinking, oh, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
4-0 down.
He's like, our penalty looks better than an open play concession. Let's just knock him out.
He will not be the last player who's ever done that in the history of football.
No.
Sometimes it's going so badly, you just lost all rationale, having you, Nick, and you just don't really know what you've done there. But there's a part of you that thinks, I'm glad I did that.
It's just stupidity. He's just reacted. Guys running down. Like you said, he could have just body checked him, Dave, and just stood off him and just jockeyed him. But he runs and he sort of does like a half shoulder barge, half mistimed tackle. It's a bit weird. But he didn't need to do it. He just needed to track him to the line, stop the cross coming in. It'd probably be a corner, whatever. But yeah, it was 4-0, game over. And it was just icing on the cake for them, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, totally. Normally we do like good, the bad, the injured, nice. So good, nothing, bad, everything, injured, probably all of them. So now we'll move on to the questions and the statements. Well, I'm going to start off with a slightly positive one here. And it's so typical that Burnley did this yesterday. So Chris Lash messages us and said, Burnley drew, so the record's almost safe for another season, the 106 one. But the typical, Chris, they did it against Blackpool. That's the one team that we didn't want. Frustrating. Another interesting one. Would it make sense for Bowen to take charge for away games in Ince for home from Simon C? I mean, can you imagine that, Nick?
Yeah,
that'd be quite. Whole management
be interesting.
A split one.
Yeah, that'd be a bit of an interesting one. But yeah, no, maybe we could try it and see what happens if it works. And great.
I'm sure Paul Ince would absolutely love the idea of that, 100%. Okay, so our waveform from Georgia. Our waveform is now so bad, it's actually beginning to get a bit of cult status. They just keep going as soldiers. Imagine how good it'll feel for them when he finally went away. Our home still is form is still really good, so let's just focus on that. The problem is, though, I mean, come on, the waveform has to come into it, doesn't it, Dave? Because we don't just lose. We look like we're just not even in it.
Yeah, there's no point turning up. We'd actually have a better season if we wrote to the EFL and said, in advance, we forfeit all the away games and we'll just play at home. We'll be fresher. We'll probably pick up even more points at home. And the end result will actually be better than this season where we get knackered away from... Yeah, actually, one thing about yesterday, 4-0 down and we still have all of our first-choice players continuing to labour around the pitch despite the fact that apparently they're really tired all the time. Yeah, so we end up with a bunch of injuries playing away and a bunch of fatigue. Let's just sack them off ahead of time, save on travel costs, save on everything else, and go from there. It's a moot point. Imagine when we finally win away what it's going to feel like. It's not going to happen. Like, we haven't had a shot on target yesterday. We haven't scored a goal away from home in the last four. Like, no chance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just pretty depressing, isn't it, really? One from Ross Mosby. Given Paul Ince's desire to blame the referee for a poor result, irrespective of whether it was actually due to the ref, what shortcomings and struggles in your own life are you going to blame on referees from now on? What do you think, Nick? Is there anything that you could blame that's annoying you in your own life that you could say, EFL refs, they've
probably
this
on me? Just paying bills in general and having to work full time until I retire. Just that's always the ref's fault as well, isn't it? So life in general.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I do like this one, though, about involves Chris related. I'm a big fan of it, from Dan Gabriel. What would you rather have? What's it for fingers or Monster Munch for feet? What you're saying, Dave, because like this is the level that the podcast come to. I'm always giving out therapy because I cannot keep on reading out pure anger. It's draining me more than anyone else.
It's fair. Well, as you know, well, you well know, I should say, easy for me to say, Liverpool. As you well know, big fan of a snack, and I will travel to get the ones that I want. So should I have to go and pick out either Wotsits, put them on my fingers instead of fingers, or Monster Munch on my feet, I'm going Wotsits on my fingers. And let me tell you why. I reckon I could still type on a keyboard with Wotsits as fingers, right? And I can have a little nibble because they're right there. So that's fine. If I had Monster Munch as feet, I think I'd be a little bit less mobile than I am today. And that would be a disappointment. So, yeah, I'm going Wotsits all the way. Yeah.
What do you think, Nick? I got to say, the logic behind that is impeccable. And we have reached the low point here, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I'd go Monster Munch. I think they're sturdier. So, like, less trouble breaking. Because Wotsits are a bit, you know, they break off a bit softer, break off a bit easier. And, like, I like Monster Munch more than Wotsits. I could chew on my feet, pickled onion flavoured on my feet. It'd be great.
Yeah, and also there's more variety on the Monster Munch.
It's true. More flavours to go
You're
for.
You're right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flaming hot on one toe and pickled onion on another.
Oh, dear. Right then. So we've had the attempt at very mild humour there. And now we're going to move into one that comes up every single week now. Ince in, ince out. In my own thoughts, Dave, I've got to say, I think what's the point of getting rid of Paul Ince right now? I know, I understand the limitations. I just don't see what it would achieve. I do respect people who think opposite, though.
Yeah. I mean, if something came up where we were like, X person will come in just till the end of the season, we'll stop this apathy away from home, we'll get everyone fighting, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, cool. Let's do it. Anything. That's great. If we can do it within the business plan, etc. And then you're starting to look at, like, if it's within the business plan, it's someone doing us a favor. So it's probably someone connected to the club. The oft mentioned Brian McDermott, maybe I saw someone talk about Dylan Kerr the other day, things like this. All of that seems a little bit, we just want something, so here's how we could make it work, which I don't really think would make that much difference. He'll probably stay till the summer at least, and fair enough. I am leaning, in fact, I'm not leaning, I'm in the ints out in the summer camp and fresh start and everything else. And it's actually not because of the performances. I get the counterpoint of, like, we're just staying up was all this season was about, and we've exceeded expectations. We haven't spent the whole season in the relegation zone, etc. I've gone ints out because of his willingness to just throw the players under the bus when they lose, his willingness to defy reality when talking about what happened in a game, and the aggressive nature he responds to any criticism as being aghast that it could possibly be anything to do with him. It's like, no, that kind of mentality means that you go back into planning for the next game thinking, well, it was nothing we did, and then nothing's going to change. So that's where I'm at. Forget the results. Forget, you know, what we should have done this season versus what we have. It's a personality thing. You can't have a sustainable, growing, progressive football club that goes in the right direction with a manager that will not accept they did anything wrong.
Yeah, I can totally see the situation in the summer changing. I can see him leaving if we stay up. I think if we go down, he's going to leave anyway. So I think that's kind of solves that situation. But what are you thinking, Nick, on that? In, out, shake it all about. What are you going to be?
Exactly the same as Dave. I'm in out in the summer camp. I don't see the point of sacking him now, unless it gets very drastic. And I just don't think there's the options to replace him anyway at the moment. I think I don't agree with Mark Bowen to the end of the season, because what he's doing at the moment is completely different. It's working seemingly well from how it's coming across from the club and what we're hearing. And I just don't think we should be meddling with that at all. I think that'll be a backward step as a whole. Noel Hunt would be the only one, and he could be a disaster. We don't know. It's do we throw him under the bus and ourselves, and is he good enough? And maybe we'd be worse off, because we've got good, at least what we've got at the moment is good home form under Ince. If Noel Hunt comes in and the away form doesn't improve and the home form drops off, that's when we're in trouble. So I would keep Ince because I think he'll just get us the 4 wins we need with points deduction, of course. We need 4 wins. I think we'll do that. And ultimately, I just don't think he can take us forward further than this. I think, like Dave said, with the comments he makes and the tactics, and as long as we can get someone in who can take us forward, I'd like to see a young and innovative coach come in, hopefully, with potential. But yeah, I'm Ince in, but just to the summer, and then I'm Ince out.
Yeah, no, I understand that completely. It all makes sense to me. I think that's the way the club should move forward, but we don't know. I would also add, we're fully aware of the situation with the embargo and all the kind of what's going on with the 6-point deduction. We have talked about that on the previous podcast, about 6 points down again. So if you want to listen to that, if we go through all the scenarios in these games and talk about it, kind of, oh, if we're in this position, 6 points, and all of a sudden look at the table in multiple different ways, it makes it very confusing. So until it's confirmed, we're just going to stick where we are. We're not in a false reality. We do know it's coming, though. So thanks a lot for listening. I won't be on another one this podcast this week because I'm having an operation during the week. But you'll have one from Jess hosting one against Sheffield United Post. You have the preview as well, and you have a post Millwall. And I'm really hoping I'm correct with the game there. So thanks a lot for listening, and we will be back at some point soon. Cheers.